In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to
you. Today we just get this wonderful gospel from Matthew that we just heard. Can you imagine hearing Jesus say those words to you? Probably some of the words that would give us all pause if he said them to us. Imagine you're with the Lord, and he's ministering to people, and there's crowds that are following him. He's with them all day, and everybody's tired, and you or I, like the disciples, say, well, let's wrap things up and send the people home. But Jesus turns and says, well, that's not necessary. You take care of them. You give them something to eat. This is Jesus telling me, you, the disciples, feed the people. That would scare me if I heard it. The point of this gospel, brothers and sisters in Christ, is that Jesus gives the disciples the power to feed people with the Word of God, with the sacraments of the church. You know, there's a sense that those 5,000 people really ate fish and bread and were satisfied, right? Jesus fed them. We believe that. There's also the spiritual sense in which they were filled and satisfied. These disciples and apostles were given the power of the Holy Spirit to go out into the world and feed it with the Word of God, to feed it with the life of the church and the doctrine which we profess and which we believe that guides our worship. Remember, our bishops in Orthodoxy are always of apostolic succession, and it's for that reason. They must be able to rightly divide the word of truth, and that power comes from Jesus Christ and his granting the Holy Spirit to them. So a wonderful message today. Jesus doesn't leave us orphaned, even though he ascends into heaven. He leaves us with his church and the ability to be fed by the successors of the apostles and disciples. Fed by the word, fed by his body and blood. There's a Eucharistic element in there. If we participate in the sacraments of the church, we know that his body and blood are life-giving sacraments. Also today, it's the Sunday following Transfiguration, and in my mind, I can never not associate Transfiguration with the experience of being at camp, especially my experience at Antiochian Village, which is our archdiocese camp, the main camp. For two summers, my first two summers as a seminarian, I worked there and saw interesting phenomena. Kids arrive on the first day and they're in tears, a lot of them, you know. They're having their meltdowns. A lot of them don't want to be at camp, especially if they've never been before. They're crying. Somebody's making them go, mom or dad or somebody, and they're crying because they just don't know what they're going to expect. So a lot of tears. And then usually over the 14 days, it gets better for the most part. They start breaking, their sadness breaks. They start making friends. They start having fun. They start getting into a routine. They don't miss home as much. And then on the day it's time to leave, the tears come all over again. But they're tears for a different reason. Now they don't want to leave this wonderful place they found. Crying when they're arriving and crying when they're leaving. Transfiguration reminds me of camp, probably also because it's always time for the transfiguration when one of the sessions at the village, the third session, is right in full swing, and we celebrate the transfiguration liturgy there. But also, you know, the kids that are crying because they don't want to go home are kind of like Peter in the gospel story of the Transfiguration. We remember Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to a mountain, it says, and he was transfigured before them, and he became as a brilliant light. They saw him in the fullness of his divinity. And Peter, it says, not knowing what he said, made a suggestion. It's so good to be here. Let's stay. Why do we have to go? We'll set up booths, tabernacles for Jesus, for Moses, and for Elijah, and we'll just stay here up on the mountain. The kids that cry because they don't want to leave camp remind me of Peter. They want to stay up on that holy mountain and bask in that wonderful thing that they've discovered. But what happens in the gospel narratives about the transfiguration is Peter is interrupted by the Lord, God, whose voice comes from heaven and says, "This is my son, listen to him, you know, hear him." And then the other figures of Moses and Elijah fade away and it's Jesus alone. So of course they go down the mountain and Jesus tells them, "Don't say anything about this until the Son of Man is risen from the dead." Now in the gospel narratives, it's not crystal clear why this episode takes place. But in the Kantakion for the feast, which we just heard right before the epistle, we learn that Jesus was transfigured before some of his disciples and apostles so that later, when they saw him crucified, they would know that his passion was voluntary. We learn that from the hymnography of the church and from the teachings of our fathers. They would know that nobody forced Jesus to die. He did it of his own free will. He was the fullness of the Godhead in his very being, and Peter, James, and John caught a glimpse of that on Mount Tabor that day. They wanted to stay. They didn't want to leave. Reminds me of camp all the time. You know, 30 years ago, our archdiocese, under the guidance of Metropolitan Philip, purchased some property in the Laurel Highlands of western Pennsylvania. And a lot of people didn't know what it was for. They were thinking, why are we buying this property? What's going to be there? And the Metropolitan wanted to have a place where young people could go and live out their Orthodox Christian faith daily. He wanted it to be a place where they could pray as Orthodox, where they could meet other Orthodox kids, where they could play as Orthodox play, where they can build things up and learn skills and be taught. And it's been a huge success ever since. 1978 was the first camping season. Every year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. If kids that want to go to camp don't apply the first week that the applications are available, they can't go the session they want to go. It's produced some other camps in our archdiocese. There's Camp St. Thecla in Georgia. There's Camp St. George right here in Iowa. Camp St. Nicholas in California. Camp St. Raphael in Oklahoma. And Camp Transfiguration in Quebec. So we have all these models to build on in our archdiocese because we know and we've learned that nothing is feeding our young people with what they need to be fed with of the Orthodox faith, like the Orthodox camping programs. Thank God for them. Kids go and they pray. We said they pray. They pray more than they probably ever have at home and in their parishes. It's funny to hear about kids going back home from camp and asking mom and dad, "How come we're not going to church?" And maybe mom and dad will say, "Well, it's not Sunday." And they say, "What? It's a feast day." Or, "There's Vespers. How come we're not going to Vespers? We need to pray before we eat." So the kids are learning the truth about their faith, and they're living it in a way they don't get to live it year-round. Or maybe they haven't yet, but they learn. They can learn about iconography. They learn how to chant. They learn the doctrines of the Christian faith. Many, many young men have heard their callings to the priesthood and the diaconate through what they learned and experienced at camps. Many young women have heard their callings to do wonderful things in the church, to go into monasteries, to teach music and get involved in Christian education programs. The camps are feeding the kids like nothing else, and we're not sure exactly what the magic formula is. I believe it's the grace of God. But we believe in them, and we support them, and we pray for them. And as we said, we thank God for them. But like the kids that don't want to leave camp, and like St. Peter up on Mount Tabor with the Lord, we, brothers and sisters in Christ, can't bask in the glory of what we have here in the church. We need to come to church. We need to experience God in the fullness of his revelation in the Word, in the sacraments, in the fellowship with one another. But at some point, you know, nobody wants to stay in church all the time. We have to walk out the doors. Just like Peter had to walk down the mountain and the young kids have to leave camp because there's work to be done. If Peter never left the mountain, who would witness to the Lord's divinity and teach that apostolic word of truth to the ends of the world like the Lord wanted him to? We, when we leave church, very important what we do in church, probably the most important thing, but also very important is what we do when we walk out the doors. We need to take that light, take what we have in here, what we've experienced, and let it shine out into the world so that the world can see that light. We have a mission to convert the world, to make the world followers of the true faith. That's our mission, all of us. And there are various ways we do that. You know, coming to church is one, setting a good example for people. You know, let people know what you believe. I know that's taboo in our society today, to really believe something and express it. But we have a responsibility to do that. Do you keep icons, a little icon at your workplace? Are you allowed to, you know? Do you say prayers before you eat wherever you are? Do you wear a cross around your neck? Do you take days off to come to church? Do people know why you can't work certain days during Holy Week, for example, because you're an Orthodox Christian and that's important to live out your faith? Let's remember these things, brothers and sisters. We want to teach the young people the truth about our faith. Do we know when to fast? Do we know what fasting days are in the church? We teach the young people, and hopefully we live it out in our day-to-day experience. So we have young people who are going to camp, who are learning what it means to be an Orthodox Christian. And from my experience there at Antiochian Village, their mission is the same as all the Orthodox camps in our archdiocese. And their mission is to provide an experience for the children, to let them experience the fullness of their faith every day while they're there. Some kids think they go there to have fun. Most do, but it's always stressed that that's not why they go to Orthodox Christian camps. They go to learn and to grow and to experience the faith. The fun, which 95% of them have, and it's what drives them to want to go back, is a byproduct of that. So let's pray for our camping programs. Let's support them. Let's teach our children the faith and hopefully send them to places where they can live out the faith to its fullness, such as the camps. And let's us, as Orthodox, not keep ourselves in the church and be quiet about our faith and only experience it here. Let's take it out of doors and down the mountain and into the world and let the light that we have received in the liturgy and in the Word of God shine so that the world might see the light and maybe taught the true faith through our example, through our prayer, through our worship, and through the Spirit of God. May this be our prayer, and may all of us grow in the faith like the children who are going to camp this week to learn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.